Thank you. Thank you, each one, for coming. It's a joy to be here, although there are a lot of people missing. Just grateful for all of you who showed up today. It is beautiful weather today for camping, so I know some are camping. And then some are family gatherings, so it's a wonderful time of the year. It's a wonderful time to gather together, too. Four announcements today. Not too many. We have a members meeting. Are they up there on the board for you? A members meeting at, let's see if I'm connected here with the same one. Yeah, members meeting, 7 o'clock, Wednesday night here at the church, and would love to see you all here, all of those of you who are committed here. And then the other thing is a reminder for the camp out, and that's coming up pretty quick. Camp Gideon and 9, 10, 11 of July. Hope to see you all there. The offering today is also for the mission fund. So ushers, if you would want to get ready, and Weldon, if you would get a song ready, we'll go ahead and lift that right now. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning together. Lord, that we can together lift our hearts to you, looking to you and worshiping you and looking and searching, Lord, for your truth today and your word. Speak to us, Lord, as only you can. Lord, we as men are feeble, but with you and by your Spirit, Lord, you can do mighty things, and we praise you. Thank you, Lord. We have the privilege of sharing in the mission fund today, Lord. May it be just a wonderful sacrifice of love from our hearts as we give to your work and to the work of your kingdom, Lord. It's a privilege. Bless each one that gives, I pray this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Weldon.
Thy in God be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust?
Thank you, each one, for giving. May God pour his richest blessing into your life. It's been a really rough week for me. I don't know about for some of you, but I just was thinking a lot about the young man who did such awful things, shooting children, adults. It's very interesting looking at a young man like that. I think he was only 18 years old. He was a young man that was hurt through his youth, bullied in school, and sounds like his family wasn't real kind to him. His mother did say that he was not really a problem child. He was always very quiet, stuck to himself, probably a lot of brooding. And you know, I remember being that way. And my heart really went out to this young man as I thought about being bullied, thought about being hurt. It's very hurtful in a school situation when you have kids your own age poking fun at you. And some of us are a little more easy to make fun of than others. And I was one of those. I was from a divorced situation and very poor, ragged, and but you know, God took me through a journey of love and forgiveness. And it was my only path to freedom. And when I gave my life to Christ, he began teaching me about forgiveness. And one of my biggest tests on forgiveness was my dad. And that was a hard thing for me to let go of, that little revengeful thought deep within my being that someday I would show my dad. But God took me on a beautiful journey of forgiveness when I gave my life to him, and he began to teach me about his forgiveness and the second chance that he gave me by giving his life. I'd like to share just a little bit today about forgiveness, the way of the believer. And some of the hardest times to forgive is when you're in church struggles and things don't go well and people do what Galatians talks about, bite and devour one another. When God has not called us to that, he has called us to love and forgiveness. And some of those things are hard to erase from your mind. And every day you wake up and all of a sudden it goes through you and God just says, choose to forgive. I forgave you. I gave you a second chance. Please give these people a second chance. Love them anyway. Do what I taught you in Matthew 5 where I said, bless those who curse you. Do good to them who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, which is far greater than any little piece of revenge that is in your heart or bitterness. And you know, Ephesians says if we don't deal with it quickly, it'll develop into something raging. It talks about don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And the longer you let it brood and stew within you, it can turn into something awful, just like this young man turned into something devastating, and then he lost his own life. And to my knowledge, he did not know Jesus. And that just broke my heart as I kept thinking about it, and I kept praying for the parents. I thought, I can't fathom what those parents are suffering with right now. All those beautiful little children. Forgiveness, the way of the believer. There's a beautiful scripture in Romans 8:1. And it's the beautiful thing you experience when you give your life to Christ and you began walking with him. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Romans goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. You know, the Bible is full of stories of second chances. A lot of great men and women of God who failed and God gave them another chance. One that comes to mind this morning is found in Jonah. And I'll just begin with a verse that says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For thou, I'm sorry. Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so here was Jonah. We all know the story is so familiar. And God says, go and give my word to a dying people. Otherwise, they will be destroyed. And Jonah said, no, and ran from the presence of God. I find that so intriguing or thought-provoking, because how many times in choices that we make that we have fled from the presence of God? And God in his mercy spared Jonah's life. And God in his mercy has spared our lives over and over again when we made choices to walk away from his presence. These men were scared, and they said, what should we do? And then he said, just throw me in the water. And then God mercifully sent that fish. Otherwise, I wonder if Jonah would have drowned, because the sea was so horrible and so rough and the waves were so high. And the fish swallowed him. And then here's Jonah's cry. And here's Jonah's way back to the presence of God. If you read verse 2, he says, and said I, cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He cried in desperation to the Lord to save him, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. And then as you continue to read, you hear the repentance pouring out of Jonah. For he goes on to say in verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Once again, I'm coming back, Lord. I want to do your will. I repent. This was his conversation of repentance. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth and her bars, and was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Has that been you when you've come back after you realize that you had fled from his presence? Was that a broken cry from your heart like Jonah? And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. So there's Jonah crying out in brokenness, and God loves to hear that. And that's a moment God is waiting for, to reach down in his mercy and to cleanse you and to heal you and to experience his forgiveness. God is into second chances. You may not feel as if you deserve a second chance, and from a limited human perspective, you may not. And the first point is, this is a residue of sin. Sin, after it runs its course, leaves you in a distasteful position. You feel beat up and used. You are embarrassed and ashamed. The only recourse seems to be to wallow in your guilt and shame while receiving verbal pelts from the righteous. This is not where God wants you and I to remain. But this is a residue of sin. Yes, sin brings guilt. Yes, there are those who will rub it in your face. Yes, sin brings consequences you may have to live with in this life. Just as the children of Israel, we've been studying, and how the consequences that they had to live with. from their awful of walking away from God. Yet in Christ, you are not condemned. You and me are not condemned, because John 3:17 says, "For I sent not my Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved." Yes, we are not condemned because Jesus did that for us. So in Christ, you and I are not condemned. Christ was condemned on the cross for the crime of mankind. And the point, next point I'd like to make is, he is your passageway to freedom from sin and condemnation. And of course, there's Romans 8:1 I just quoted, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the beauty of laying your life prostrate before Jesus in repentance. He does not pelt you with stones of self-righteousness. Instead, Jesus lifts you up and out of your unrighteousness and into his righteousness. His grace gives you a second chance. The Lord gave Jonah a second chance. And if you read Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And the word of the Lord comes to us over and over again, and often the second time. Jonah messed up, and you know what? We all mess up. There is no doubt about this. But Lord willing, we will learn from our failures and not continue in sin. The next point is, confessing our sin and repenting brings freedom from condemnation. To be caught in sin and then continue in sin is condemnation. It is foolish. A fool gambles with God's patience. When confronted with God and his truth, we need to capitulate, if I could say the word. Capitulate simply means surrender. That's wisdom. Surrender to the voice of God when he confronts you about your sin. That's what happened to David. The voice of God came to David through Nathan. And what did David do? He capitulated. He surrendered. Instead of continue to fight. Why do we continue to fight? When God has healing, he has forgiveness, he has mercy and grace, wanting to just give it to us, and we push it away often in our stubbornness and in our pride. In John 8, verses 10 and 11, just a beautiful, beautiful story of forgiveness and healing. Jesus straightened up and asked her in a different, I'm reading a different translation. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And that's what he tells us. "I don't condemn you. Just go now and stop sinning." You know, within us, all of us, there's a little bit of Pharisee. It's the next point I want to look at. And the Pharisee within us is, we have a condescending attitude that elevates us over the ones we condemn. this is a nature of pride, and it's we all deal with it sometimes. And I see it the worst when I see church fights. And I've been in through a few. A condescending attitude that elevates us over the ones we condemn. This is the nature of pride. And it is twisted in its motivation. It's very twisted in its motivation. Because here's how we think. I publicly criticize your sin to justify my private sin. Often that's what's happening. We have private sins within us, and so we rise up and criticize those that are caught in sin. But what is done in the darkness will come to light. It just takes time, and God is not limited by time. So the next point I'd like to make is be quick. Be quick, you and me, to confess our own sin before judging other people's sin. And we read that in the Gospels. Jesus said, first of all, remove the mote out of your eye before you try, or the beam out of your eye before you try to remove the mote out of someone else's eye. This is a prerequisite. It is a big enough job to keep clean account of one's own sins, much less try to manage the accounts of other people's sin. Most likely, you and I do not have the time or expertise to take on someone else's sin management. It's a big enough job for us. Your example of confessing and repenting of your own sin will be much more helpful for others. Because what happens when you do that, there is a common ground and there's a transparency, and it makes for a safe atmosphere and environment. And it gives people permission to be real. You see, you being real, it gives them courage to be real. None of us are too holy that we never sin. By God's grace, you and I can provide a safe environment for others to work through and exit from their sin. The next point I'd like to make is transparency leads to healing. And I just quoted that. Give others permission to be real. Number 9, the 9th point that I had written down here, I'm not sure if I said them all, but is concealed sin kills. When we conceal sin, it kills life within us, and it only brings death wherever we go. But repentance leads to healing. Matt Boyd, who's a Christian counselor, made this point. He said, when people are hurting, hold back from hitting them over the head with the Bible. We're often guilty of that, aren't we? We like to really give people a piece of what we think is true and from the Bible. And he says, don't do that. Hold back from hitting them over the head with the Bible. Because you, yourself, and I, myself, one day will be hurt and need acceptance for healing. God gives others second chances. And us. God has done this for you and for me. Second chances are God's way. By following the way of God, everyone wins. It's a win-win situation when we humble ourselves, confess and repent, and take care of our own things. Another story that just always grips me a lot this morning is the story of Peter. Peter would never forget that terrible moment when their eyes met. Did he see in Jesus' gaze some hint of disappointment or reproach? We cannot venture so far, because the inspired word says only that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. But in that one glance, Peter saw the depth of his own failure. And when Jesus gives that glance to us, we begin to see the depth of our own failures. He realized that he had just done the very thing that Jesus had foretold, the one thing that Peter had insisted he would never do. He said, "I will never do that. I'll go with you to the end." He had disowned his beloved master. It was a low point for Peter, perhaps the worst moment of the worst day of his life. But all was not lost. Because Peter was a man of great faith, he still had an opportunity to recover. And God gives us all an opportunity to recover from our mistakes and to learn one of Jesus' greatest lessons, forgiveness. Each of us needs to learn the same lesson. So, let us follow Peter on this difficult journey that he walked, because we walk sometimes the very same path. About 6 months earlier, in his hometown of Capernaum, Peter approached Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times is my brother to sin against me, and am I to forgive him? Up to 7 times? Peter likely thought that he was being generous. After all, the religious leaders of the day taught that one had to forgive only 3 times. Now, I didn't realize that. But the religious leaders taught you only had to forgive three times, and then you don't have to anymore. But guess what Jesus' reply was? No, not up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And you know, here's something that we're all guilty of. We keep ledgers of those who've wronged us. And the question that is asked here, was Jesus suggesting that Peter keep running tally of a transgressor's actions? No. Rather, by turning Peter's 7 into a 77, he was saying that love does not allow us to set an arbitrary limit on forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians 13, we read all about the generosity of love. Jesus showed that Peter had been influenced by a hard-hearted, unforgiving spirit that was prevalent in those days, one that meted out forgiveness as if by an accountant's ledger. However, divine forgiveness is expansive and generous. You know, we live in a very much world like that. That's not far removed from us, that there is just a hard, prevalent, unforgiving spirit that we walk in this world. And when Jesus' forgiveness is expansive and generous, and that's what he's telling Peter. Peter did not argue with Jesus, but did Jesus' lesson really reach his heart? Sometimes we learn the most about forgiveness when we realize how desperately we need it ourselves. So let us return back to Jesus when we find ourselves struggling with forgiveness. Often, it's hard for people to forgive when they have struggled with receiving Jesus' forgiveness. Some of us have a hard time receiving the forgiveness of Jesus in our lives, and that makes it hard for us to forgive others when we're wronged. Check your heart this morning. I love Romans chapter 8, the last part of the chapter. It's such a beautiful description of the vast, generous supply of Jesus' love that he wants to extend to us. Let me turn it to it here quickly. Then I think I'll close with that. So have you thought this morning, as we were talking about forgiveness, about moments in your life when you were hurt, and did you let go of that hurt and receive God's forgiveness toward that person and forgive them also? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. A lot of hurt there. But what do we do? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. It's because of him who loved us that we can be more than conquerors in moments of hurt, in moments of terrible distress. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is so vast, so generous, and yet there's often we flee from his presence when he's just saying, don't run, I love you, I forgive you, stay with me. And he brings us back to repentance, and there's a scripture also in Romans where it says, it is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance, and it truly is. It's his goodness that we have the wonderful privilege of a second chance. We have a wonderful privilege of giving others second chances in our own lives when they've hurt us because of the generous, vast supply of the love of Jesus flowing within us. First John 1:9 is just a beautiful scripture that Jesus leaves with us. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Is there a testimony that you may have this morning of experiencing God's forgiveness and God leading you to forgive others who've despitefully used you and done you wrong? Anyone? Well, we're going to dismiss early today, and don't allow unforgiveness or things in your life today to ruin this beautiful day. It's beautiful out there, a wonderful day to continue to worship Jesus and to enjoy the good gifts that he's left with us. A beautiful blue sky, sunshine, and so many fun things to do. But often we mar it because we run from his presence because of choices. And sometimes we don't even know that we've wandered away from his presence. And then he brings to our minds, because of his mercy, and Lamentations says it so well, I'll just read that and then we'll close. It really is a scripture of hope and second chances from God, encouraging us also to forgive and to give second chances to others and not to hold a ledger. As Psalm 130 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? Who would have a chance if you kept a ledger? Instead, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That is full of so much hope, so much mercy, and the grace of God. Let's rise for prayer. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, thank you, Lord, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, and that's because of your wonderful love and sacrifice that we have the privilege of being presented faultless before your presence. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.